on radio, online and mobile. You're with SBS Radio.
Good evening and welcome to SBS World News Radio. I'm Peggy Giacomelos.
And I'm Omar Dibadj. Coming up...
You know, it's only days away and we don't know where Labor stands.
The Coalition and Labor Party continue to question each other's commitment to resolving the dual citizenship saga.
Also on the program...
It's extremely frustrating. It's becoming more frustrating because the solutions are there.
A leading climate change expert says Australia is falling behind in tackling the issue.
And Australia's unemployment rate has been hitting record lows, but it's a case of mixed fortunes for our new arrivals.
Those stories and more coming up in the next half hour.
Good evening. With this news at 6 o'clock, I'm Omar Dibadj. Crossbench MP Rebecca Sharkey says the Prime Minister believes she may have to refer herself to the High Court. The member for Mayo says she lodged the paperwork to renounce her UK citizenship in April last year, but the official confirmation did not arrive until the end of June, which was after she nominated for the election. She says she believes she acted appropriately.
I believe that I have taken all steps that were required by the United Kingdom to renounce my entitlement to UK citizenship that were within my power to do so. And I have no control as to what speed the United Kingdom Home Office processed my application. But I note that well over a month would have passed between when I actually nominated for the seat and when I sent the documentation.
Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull has accused Labor leader Bill Shorten of not wanting to resolve the dual citizenship crisis, saying he's exploiting it for political gain. Mr. Turnbull has told the Nine Network Mr. Shorten has no intention to find a solution to the crisis, following a fruitless meeting between the two leaders. He says time is running out, with the Senate due to sit on Monday.
You know, it's only days away and we don't know where Labor stands. I mean, if he's fair dinkum and he wants to resolve the issue, he should have some detailed amendments to our resolution in front of us, and then we can work out where we can make agreement.
Despite this and disagreements over the deadline for politicians to declare their citizenship status, voters will know by the end of the year which federal ministers or senators will be referred to the High Court for an eligibility test. Crossbench Senator Jackie Lambie and Sydney Liberal MP Jason Falinski are the latest parliamentarians to come under suspicion, though both deny they hold foreign citizenship. Bill Shorten says the Prime Minister's proposed register of parliamentarian citizenship details doesn't meet the standards set by the High Court, which recently ruled five politicians ineligible. He has also called for a shorter time period of 5 days for MPs and senators to clarify their status, compared to the government's 3 weeks. Mr. Shorten says while he wants the crisis resolved as soon as possible, there's no point endorsing an inferior plan.
What we also need to do is make sure that as MPs provide their information, we don't do a half-baked solution. What's the point of doing a test lesser than the High Court standards? Then we're just all back here arguing again and people will even be more annoyed at us. Let's do it right the first time, High Court standard, December the 1, and the Parliament doesn't have to expend extra money to sort out, you know, if there's any further questions for the High Court to address.
The men refusing to leave the Manus Island Detention Centre have been threatened with force if they don't relocate to alternative locations within the next 2 days. The PNG Immigration and Citizenship Service Authority has distributed a notice to the men, urging them to relocate to the alternative centres on buses it says are being provided today. The notice assures the men the PNG police will provide them with appropriate security. The leaders of China and the United States say they're both committed to the denuclearization of the Korean Peninsula. The Chinese President Xi Jinping and President Donald Trump have talked about the tensions with North Korea during a meeting in Beijing. Trade and terrorism in the Middle East were also discussed. President Xi says there's a joint commitment to rid the Korean Peninsula of nuclear weapons.
We reiterated the firm commitment to achieving denuclearization of the peninsula and upholding international non-proliferation regime.
President Trump says his Chinese counterpart has agreed not to repeat what is called the failed policies of the past. Moving on to other news, a woman has turned herself into police over a hit and run that's left a 13-year-old girl in an induced coma with critical injuries. Police say the 41-year-old woman handed herself in at her lawyer's office. The girl was struck last Sunday while riding her bike in the Melbourne suburb of Coburg. And now a look at tomorrow's weather. Perth, partly cloudy and 30 degrees. Adelaide, partly cloudy and 33. Melbourne, similar, and 24. Partly cloudy in Hobart and 21. Partly cloudy and 25 in Canberra. Mostly sunny in Wollongong, 22. In Sydney, mostly sunny at 23. In Newcastle, it's also partly cloudy at 22. And Brisbane, shower or two at 24. Showers in Cairns at 29. And in Darwin, a shower or two with a possible shower at 34. And Peggy, more on these stories coming up on SBS World News at 6.30.
Thanks to Omar Dabaj there from the SBS Newsroom. And across Australia, you're listening to SBS World News Radio. I'm Peggy Giacomelos. The time is 6 past the hour. As we just heard in the news, Nick Xenophon team MP Rebecca Sharkey has sought advice from the Prime Minister over her eligibility to sit in Parliament. She's become the latest in a line of MPs to become embroiled in the dual citizenship saga. Meanwhile, Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull and opposition leader Bill Shorten continue to question each other's commitment to resolving the dual citizenship saga as more politicians become embroiled. Crossbencher Jackie Lambie and Liberal MP Jason Falinski are the latest parliamentarians to potentially fall foul of the Australian Constitution Section 44, though both deny they hold foreign citizenship. But as Evan Young reports, some are questioning the section's relevance altogether.
The uncertainty must be resolved as soon as possible. That's the message from opposition leader Bill Shorten, coming as more federal politicians discover they may be in breach of the Constitution's Section 44. Labor has called for Liberal MP John Alexander to be referred to the High Court while he seeks advice from the UK Home Office on his citizenship status. While the Coalition has raised questions over Labor MPs Susan Lamb and Justine Key, Mr. Shorten has told the Nine Network he's certain no Labor politicians will be caught up in the scandal.
Oh, I am more than satisfied that Labor MPs for our vetting process
can
will pass muster. Yes.
Rather than more than satisfied?
Yes, I am. Yes.
Roll gold.
Yes, I am very confident. And what's more is, when you have to look at the track record, it hasn't been Labor and its ministers who've been the problem here.
But Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull has accused Mr. Shorten of overly politicising the long-running saga. The pair met on Wednesday in Melbourne for talks aimed at ending the crisis but failed to agree on a deal. Mr. Turnbull announced a bill on Monday that, if passed, forces all parliamentarians to declare their citizenship status and provide proof of any renunciations where applicable within 21 days. Mr. Shorten says he wants tougher and faster action than the Prime Minister. With the Senate due to deliberate over Mr. Turnbull's register on Monday, the Prime Minister conceded to the Nine Network time's running out for negotiations.
You know, it's only days away and we don't know where Labor stands. I mean, if he's fair dinkum and he wants to resolve the issue, he should have some detailed amendments to our resolution in front of us, and then we can work out where we can make agreement.
Mr. Turnbull also says he's considering calling back all federal parliamentarians to Canberra for extra sitting days before Christmas to help deal with the issue. But Nick Xenophon team MP Rebecca Sharkey says the crisis needs to be wrapped up before then, telling Sky News it's become too much of a distraction.
If there are further cases that need to go to the High Court, does that mean that this will be dragging on well into February, March and possibly April next year? I don't think that's something that anyone in the Australian community wants to see. They actually want us to work on policies. They want us to work on issues and get this country in the right direction.
Meanwhile, some are questioning Section 44's relevance altogether. The Ethnic Communities Council of Victoria says the article deters almost half of Australia from participating in federal politics. The 2016 Australian Census revealed 49% of Australians have at least one parent born overseas, and the ECCV says those from diverse backgrounds are thus going to be excluded from federal politics. Chair Eddie Mikalev has told SBS, as it stands, Section 44 is creating two classes of citizens.
It disqualifies one group of people from becoming a member of parliament and contribute in our multicultural society that should reflect the makeup of the community, which is diverse and which is multicultural.
Mr. Mikalev is concerned prospective politicians from diverse backgrounds aren't getting a chance to make their impact.
The message that I'd like to say to the governing fathers of Australia that you should not be putting impediments in the way of having the best quality candidate stand for the Federal Parliament of Australia and not exclude a wealth of talent, a wealth of experience and a wealth of contribution.
As it stands, state and federal politics don't have a synchronised policy regarding dual citizenship. While unconstitutional for federal members of parliament to hold, their state counterparts can still participate.
Thanks to Evan Young for that report. It's 11 past the hour. And moving on to other news now, and Labor Senator Sam Dastyari has warned of a rise in white nationalism after he was abused by members of a nationalist group in a Melbourne bar. A group of men calling themselves working class patriots heckled the Iran-born senator on Wednesday night, calling him a terrorist, a little monkey, and demanding to know if he was Muslim. The men from the group Patriot Blue filmed the verbal attack and posted it on their Facebook page. Both the Prime Minister and opposition leader have condemned the incident. His Labor colleague, Tim Watts, who was with Mr. Dastyari at the time, also intervened after the men asked Mr. Dastyari to explain what race Muslims identify with. Senator Dastyari spoke about the incident a short time ago.
Thank you for the incredible amount of support that I've been given over the past day or so. But again, worry more about the young girls and boys who are putting up with this abuse in the schoolyard than the parliamentarian putting up with it in the bar.
Where else do we see this rise in white nationalism?
Oh, look, I think we're seeing this rise everywhere, and we're seeing it across Australian society, we're seeing it across the schoolyard, across the workplace, and I think it's a very, very ugly new development. And again, it is a minority, but it's an increasingly vocal minority, but there's also a huge amount of support that I've been able to experience over the past day. They were having a go at me about Islam and race and other things, and I think Tim very eloquently put back to them that what race is a word that he used.
The man who filmed the attack, Neil Erickson, has told Sky News he's not a racist and he stands by his remarks.
I'm not a racist. Look, I believe if you call someone a monkey, if they're not of dark skin, that's usually the way people see it as racism. I don't believe it's a racial attack.
And you're listening to SBS World News Radio, where the time is 13 past the hour. Coming up after the break, a leading climate change expert says Australia is falling behind in tackling the issue.
Hi, I'm Jenny Brockie. Tonight on Insight.
Insight on SBS is Australia's leading forum for public debate.
The best stories are real and often deeply personal.
Join Jenny Brockie as she draws incredible personal stories from remarkable Australians and drives debate on diverse issues.
These are important stories from brave people that take courage to tell. Welcome everyone, good to have you here tonight. Tanya, your late father, Boyan, had one of Queensland's biggest property empires. He left you nothing. Correct. Why?
Insight, Tuesdays, 8:30 on SBS and on demand.
International crisis beyond the borders of Europe.
SBS World News is Australia's only globally focused news service.
The government's response was swift,
bringing the events of the world home.
For Indigenous Australians, it was the outcome they'd longed for.
The latest international news and national stories of the day.
From refugee to recognised business leader.
Good evening, I'm Janice Peterson.
And I'm Anton Eames.
SBS World News, nightly 6:30 on SBS and on demand.
Seren View comes from a farming tradition, but he's a renegade at heart, playing with planting conditions and varieties to create vegetables with the most interesting characteristics.
SBS Food serves up the best cuisine from around the globe. Thursday nights on SBS.
SBS World News brings you the global and national news that matters. Hear the latest news on radio Monday to Friday at 6pm and watch our TV bulletin on SBS Daily at 6:30pm. Find out more at sbs.com.au/news.
Past the hour here on SBS Radio. A leading climate change expert says Australia is falling behind the rest of the world in tackling the issue, saying a critical window of action is closing. A lack of any coherent long-term national approach has been described as unacceptably weak and dangerous. Sunila Wasti reports.
From destructive storms in Sydney to deadly bushfires in Victoria, scientists say weather events are only going to get more extreme unless serious action is taken on climate change. The Climate Council's Critical Decade report warns Australia is lagging behind the rest of the world in addressing climate change. The Council's Chief Executive, Amanda McKenzie, is calling for crucial action to be taken over the next 2 years.
In Australia, we've seen our pollution continuing to rise since 2015, whereas globally emissions are flatlining, so there is far more that Australia needs to do. We unfortunately lack a national policy approach to climate change, and much more will need to be done for Australia to catch up with the rest of the world.
Leading climate scientist Professor Will Steffen says the issue has become too political and that the country is at a critical juncture.
So yes, it's extremely frustrating. It's becoming more frustrating because that the solutions are there technologically, they're there economically. Listen, it's ideologies and politics that are standing in the way. We got to get over that.
The report recommends a unified bipartisan policy, the elimination of emissions by the 2040s, that state-based initiatives be supported, and that Australia becomes a climate change leader. The report also warns that worsening weather events could have a huge impact on the economy. Around $226 billion worth of assets along the Australian coastline are vulnerable to flooding and erosion. The federal government's new energy policy ditched recommendations from the chief scientist to have a clean energy target. Labor remains committed to a 50% renewable energy target by 2030. Professor Steffen says it's frustrating trying to break through the political deadlock and that it's holding the country back. Amanda McKenzie notes the increased role of China.
China is now one of the key leaders, and one of the findings in the report is that China has consistently moved from previously being a laggard on climate change to being one of the key leaders. China has already met its 2030 Paris target, as well as moving away firmly from coal towards more renewable energy.
Some beachgoers at Manly Beach in Sydney say they hope the warnings will be heeded sooner rather than later.
And I think we've had time to do something about it and put things into place, and it's becoming much more critical now. So I'm starting to get really angry about it.
Well, I think the next generation is probably the key. You know, kids are caring more about the environment now. So my hope is that next 20 years will be a different scene.
Beachgoers at Manly in Sydney. Ending that report by Sunil Awasti. Coming up on the program, Australia's unemployment rate has been hitting record lows, but it's a case of mixed fortunes for our new arrivals. That story is up next, but before that, moving overseas. And as the Catalonia crisis continues in Spain, the country's foreign minister has suggested the central government will consider changing the constitution to allow independent referendums in the first signs of a compromise. His comments to the BBC come as the Catalonia independence declaration was officially ruled illegal and pro-independence supporters blocked roads and trains leading to tourist destinations. Rosemary Bolger reports.
Catalonia students sing the region's anthem, standing on the tracks in front of a high-speed train at Sants train station in Barcelona. Student demonstrator Arthur says it's a message that pro-independence supporters aren't giving up.
The reason we are blocking the trains is so that they know we are here and what we are fighting for, because after seeing what happened, they haven't paid attention to us on several occasions, so they can't avoid this. It is happening.
This train passenger was not impressed.
They simply don't have anything else to do. They are people who don't have anything to do. They are bothering people who are working.
But other business people who had their commute disrupted were more understanding.
I think it's good because for a long time in this country we have asked, where are the young people that move the country? At this difficult moment, it is the young people that have come out and they are the ones that need to build their future.
The protest was part of a general strike called by a pro-independence union, which also saw major roads leading to Barcelona blocked. Some major unions did not back the call and shops and businesses opened as normal. On the same day, the Constitutional Court finally ruled the October 27th Independence Declaration illegal. It was an expected decision after the court initially suspended the declaration. In the meantime, the Spanish central government had seized control of the region and issued arrest warrants for the leaders responsible for holding the independence referendum. But for the first time since the vote on October the 1st, the central government has extended an olive branch to the separatists. Foreign Minister Alfonso Dastis has told the BBC they're considering constitutional changes that would legalise future independence referendums.
We have created a committee in the Parliament to explore the possibility of amending the constitutions to be able to sort of accommodate better the aspirations of some of the Catalan people.
However, rather than only residents within the region in question voting, as the Catalonia independence supporters want, Mr. Dastis says all Spanish people should vote.
I think we are ready. We acknowledge that there is a political situation that deserves to be looked at. But in any case, it is clear that the decision will have to be taken by all Spaniards.
Meanwhile, a Belgian court is considering whether to extradite sacked Catalan leader Carles Puigdemont and four ex-ministers who fled from Spain. With a separatist movement of its own, Belgian Prime Minister Charles Michel isn't exactly welcoming the fugitive Catalan leaders. He says he won't interfere in the judicial process while trying to distance Belgium from the crisis.
And thanks to Rosemary Bolger for that report. It's 22 past the hour. We'll have the latest news headlines coming up in a couple of minutes' time. Don't forget, you can download our stories anytime on the SBS website via podcast. Just go to sbs.com.au/news/audio. Australia's unemployment rate has been hitting record lows, but it's a case of mixed fortunes for our new arrivals. Despite strong English skills and qualifications, some refugees are struggling to find work. But thanks to a surge in support programs, others are flourishing. Omar Dabash explains.
Mario Karat has been a circus performer since fleeing the Syrian war, where he trained in Lebanon. But since arriving in Australia mid-last year, the 18-year-old says he has had no luck finding work.
When I first came to Australia, I tried a lot to find a job in circus. I tried to find people to teach and to perform in birthdays, but it was too hard because it's not useful here in Australia.
Mario is now changing careers. Along with friend Majd Skef, the pair plan to obtain the HSC at TAFE and then enrol in the police academy. Majd, who is also a Syrian refugee, had been a jewellery designer in Syria, but says he is now pursuing an old dream.
I was 4 years old when I said I would be a police officer in Sydney, and I don't want to lose this dream. And this dream, it will grow up more and more, and I will be a police officer in Sydney. I know about myself, I believe in myself, and I know I will be a police officer in Sydney.
Mario and Majd live in Western Sydney, where many migrants settle. Their local church minister, Reverend John Bartik, says even refugees with more common trade skills are struggling to break into the job market.
We're seeing old, young, I meet people who have worked with really specialised skills, really employable, but they don't know how to go about getting into their own specialised field. Some of them are getting jobs, but I keep meeting people who I go, oh, you're just so employable, you'd be an asset to any business, but they can't find work.
According to the Australian Institute of Family Studies, only 6% of refugees find work within 6 months. That number jumps to nearly 25% after 2 years. It's four times easier for male refugees to gain employment over women. Recent arrivals are concentrated in labour market niches, like cleaning, aged care, taxi driving, security and construction. Professor Peter Shergold is the New South Wales Refugee Resettlement Coordinator General. He says many migrants have skills that are going to waste.
Barriers are language, clearly. The barriers are trying to get your overseas experience or qualifications accepted in Australia. The barriers are not having a work record to someone you've worked with. So all of those things are the things that we need to address.
However, increasing number of community and government initiatives are emerging Australia-wide to help refugees land a job. New South Wales set up a support program in July, connecting big companies such as Google and Woolworths with new arrivals. Professor Shergold says job prospects improve for refugees the longer they stay in Australia.
Our experience, of course, is with refugees, with migrants generally. They'll have higher unemployment during that first 5 years. Usually by 10 years out, they have higher employment rates than Australian-born. But once you get people on pathways and they have a clear idea where they're going, then you get much, much better outcomes.
Southwest Sydney Local Health District has run its bilingual community engagement program for nearly two decades. Female refugees are recruited, trained and paid to teach women's health to other migrants. Senior Women's Health Promotion Officer Sharda Georgia explains.
We give them a quite intensive, comprehensive training to give health, women's health education in their language to their communities. We mentor them and then they go and mentor the women in the community. They provide them health information and then they provide their support and information for other things too. So it's like a ripple effect.
The program has also helped the women find full-time employment. That includes Syrian refugee Hadil Alderi, who is now a caseworker for Settlement Services International.
When we started this one, that's helped us to improve our language, improve ourselves, improve our skills, and to be more confident in Australia. When I started to work and to have like a money from my work, that I said to myself, never come back to Centrelink.
Iraqi refugee Asma Youssef agrees.
It's very, very, very good when we work like this. Like because I feel it's helped me and beside them, it's helped other people. When I arrived here, I didn't know anyone because I was here just me and my kids. So and all those BCE that I met in the training, they became my friends.
Iraqi refugee Nayla Youssef says she also gained confidence after getting a job through the BCE program. She arrived in Australia 4 years ago with her husband who was in poor health. Now she works for multiple refugee support groups, including SSI and STARTS.
This helped me so much after my husband passed away. And now I am now alone, but I can do everything. We have a logo. What is I am a woman. I am intelligent. I can achieve everything. This is the very important for us.
Australia is scheduled to take in some 16,000 refugees next year. And with half expected to be of working age, confidence is key to ensuring they eventually find a job.
Thanks to Omar Dabbage there. Let's take a quick look at what's making news before we go. And crossbench MP Rebecca Sharkey says she took all the appropriate steps to renounce her UK citizenship before nominating for last year's election. She says the paperwork was sent on April the 19th last year, well before she nominated for the election on June the 7th. The member for Mayo says she received official confirmation of a renunciation on June the 29th. And Kevin Spacey, the actor, is facing more allegations of sexual assault, with a former TV news anchor accusing the actor of groping her son in a dimly lit restaurant in the US. And in Australia, a woman has turned herself into police over a hit and run that's left a 13-year-old girl in an induced coma with critical injuries. Police say the 41-year-old woman handed herself in at her lawyer's office. The girl was struck last Sunday while riding her bike in the Melbourne suburb of Coburg. Let's take a look now at Friday's weather. Partly cloudy in Perth with a top of 30 degrees. In Adelaide, similar conditions, 33. And in Melbourne, also partly cloudy, a top of 24. Similar conditions for Hobart, 21 degrees. Partly cloudy and 25 for Canberra. In Wollongong, a mostly fine and sunny day, 22 degrees. Sydney, similar conditions and 23. Also 22 degrees for Newcastle and partly cloudy there. A shower or two for Brisbane and 24. In Cairns, showers and 29. And in Darwin, a shower or two with a possible storm and a top of 34 degrees. That's the program for this evening. You can catch Janice Peterson right now on SBS News. And you can also download our stories anytime at sbs.com.au/news/audio. I'm Peggy Giacomelos. Thanks for listening.